Hello, and welcome to Sonoran Desert Institute's School of Firearms Technology's official podcast, The Gun Rack. Hello, everyone, and welcome indeed to The Gun Rack, Sonoran Desert Institute School of Firearms Technology's official podcast. My name is Josiah Upper. Folks call me Joey, and today we've kind of got a mishmash of things. We're wrapping up the month of May, and seemed like a good idea to talk about some things that are going on at SDI and things that we have gotten to do at SDI that we're pretty pumped about. So let's talk about them. First of all, I wanted to take a second and thank former Dean of the School of Firearms Technology, Wes LeMay. Wes LeMay is not only a former Dean of the School of Firearms Technology here at SDI, he is a veteran and he is a friend of the podcast. Our very first year, he was kind enough to sit down and talk with me about his experiences with the military, and it was really a great conversation. For those of you that are interested in that, I believe it is episode 12, Veterans Day Special, featuring Wes LeMay. It's worth a listen. The reason we're thanking him right now. Oh, and the other thing I forgot is that he spearheaded our Learning Center project. You guys heard me talk about the Learning Center with Wes and Brian Dolch. They were there for that episode as well, and he was in charge of that project as well. So the reason we're thanking him is that actually May 21st was Wes's last day with Sonoran Desert Institute. It was not any kind of sad leaving, except for us, of course, but he has decided to pursue some other opportunities in his life, and we will miss him very much. It was as kind a split up as split ups that make us sad can be. Sonoran Desert Institute is going to miss him very much, and he is family for us, and as many of our senior team has mentioned, it felt like the ending of an era. So Wes, for hanging out on the podcast, for helming the School of Firearms Technology, and for doing all you did for the Learning Center, we appreciate you and we thank you. And again, for our listeners that haven't heard Wes, he's just a heck of a guy. Check out episode 12 or look up the Learning Center podcast on our main feed at sonorandesertinstitute.podbean.com or in your favorite podcast hosting platform. And since you're there already, go ahead and give us a like and subscribe if you have not already. I do a poor job of telling people to like and subscribe to the podcast. Obviously, some of you are doing it as our numbers continue to trend upward, but like, subscribe, leave a review, and please be nice. I put a lot of time in this bad boy. But again, that is Wes LeMay. We'll miss you, man. All right, so that's part one of this podcast. Part two of this podcast is a little declaration of victory. Not freeing ourselves completely from it, but our ability to have worked around it for the past, I don't know, 15 months, 14 months, maybe. We made it through from the beginning of the really bad parts of the COVID-19 pandemic up till right now. I told you guys when this thing started that that was not something I was going to talk about. And I think I referred to it as the current crisis, but we never talked about COVID and we never talked about the pandemic. Not because it doesn't exist and didn't have a profound impact on so many people, but because it was flipping everywhere and I felt like people needed a respite from it. But now that the CDC has removed its guidelines concerning masks, in reference to vaccinated people, we're going to go ahead and say that we won that one. We outlasted it. That's not to There's no political intentions there. It just seemed like a nice end point for that. So for those of you who have hung on through that, we worked our way all the way through to the loosening of CDC restrictions, which I consider enough of a win to drop that particular bit of eggshells that we were walking on. So for all of you that hung out during that, glad you made it. I can't believe that we were able to swing that long, so I was thrilled about that. So that is item number two of the day. And the third one is, if Wes's is the saddest, this one's the happiest. For those of you who are unfamiliar with Iraq veteran 8888, he is extremely popular content creator for the world of firearms. Moss Pawn, I think, is the name of his shop, and he is a good friend of Sonoran Desert Institute. He sponsors once a year a range day in which vendors and content creators and manufacturers of various and sundry things come together, and we talk about what we're going to do in the upcoming year. We network. I mean, think of it as a business convention, except with ammunition. We sit there and we talk about ways that we can leverage each other to make our community better. A lot of corporate friendships there. So that's all well and good. We had the chance to go this past weekend. Normally it's in the fall, and this is an invite-only event, and I'm fortunate enough that Sonoran Desert Institute gets an invite every year. We sponsor it often, or we provide things to hand out to people and all that good stuff. So I got to go to that over the weekend, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that experience because it's otherworldly, guys. It is amazing. First of all, to all the vendors who scrapped and scraped and scrounged all of the ammunition that was brought out to this range day, and I should have mentioned this first, there is a preposterous amount of shooting that goes on during the over the course of the range day. It's normally a couple day event, and especially that first day is just bonkers. We had a Browning machine gun, not a 50 cal, but a Browning machine gun out there. We had a CZ-24, which I didn't even know existed, which was kind of embarrassing for me. We had Century Arms had their TP9 SFXs. I'm trying to remember all the things. There were dozens, so I'm not going to be doing a very good job of this anyway. I'm going to try to list them off here in a minute. But there were automatic firearms. There were semi-automatic firearms. There were a couple of sweet revolvers. There was a launcher, a 40-millimeter launcher. I believe it's 40-millimeter. Forgive me if I'm wrong on that. It's just a really good time. So while you're networking, while you're making friends, you get to make content by just peeking over a guy's shoulder at whatever firearm he or she is holding, and get to get some film that way. We got a lot of that. So for those of you who enjoy the Full Auto Fridays, which our statistics would say is pretty much all of you, you're going to get some more goodies coming up here over the next few weeks. I'm going to make a couple of, I call them master cuts, like several cuttings of certain firearms being shot, kind of putting those together. We'll have a couple of videos in that flavor coming out here before too long. And there were a couple of interviews I did as well with some people that we are hoping to have as resource partners here before too long. The Memorial Day weekend, as many people take that off to commemorate the men and women that have fallen in the line of duty. That scheduling snafu, as so many have, is going to put some of that off by a couple of weeks. But hang tight. There's going to be some of the content that I love to make is going to be making its way slowly but surely into the YouTube ranks, into the social media stuff. So hang tight for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. And I can't wait to show you some of the stuff that was out there. So for now, I would like to talk just a little bit about some of the firearms we shot and some of the people we talked with. I'm not going to make any promises for some of the people we talked with in regards to whether or not they are going to be resource partners down the road. I tried to be sure to talk with everyone. First of all, shout out to Chris Wood, who's the VP of Business Development for Leviathan. He is a good friend of SDI. Leviathan is an agency that we use to talk to the many influencers we like to work with and help basically network with them and get the good word about SDI out to all of you good people. So, Chris Wood at Leviathan, here's to you. Another one that I wanted to give a shout out to is Jay Bell, who is a name that you might not know yet. I think we did a grad feature about him, but I did so many grad features that I might not have. I think I did, though. He owns Liberty Bell Firearms. He is a member of the military, or at least was last time I spoke with him about it, and just a general good dude. Jay Bell's great. And one of the reasons I bring him up, aside from being an SDI grad, is that a lot of content over the next few months is going to be coming from our friend Jay, just like it's been coming from Caleb Downing on YouTube and on our blog posts. Jay Bell's going to be doing the same thing. And I have been editing and working with some of Jay Bell's stuff. And let me tell you, it's going to be he is a valuable addition to the team. I am stoked that he's going to be there. So, Jay Bell, that's for you. We did not see last year, or 2 years ago, I guess, year and a half ago, last time we had the IV-88-88 range day, I got to see the rare and wonderful Jerry Michalek. And for those of you who don't know who Michalek is, he is just one of the speediest shooters ever to have been. Last time I checked, he held quite a few records for quite a few things in the firearms world. They may have been beaten, but I bet he still got quite a few. And he's just a great guy. If you have never seen Jerry Michalek talk shooting, hop on YouTube, or he might be on Full 30. Either one. Look up Jerry Michalek. Awesome, awesome dude. He was not there this year, though, which is kind of a bummer. It's amazing to watch him shoot stuff. The other one that we had that is a very good friend of SDI, we often get students off of his recommendation, is Hickok 45. And he was there. And let me tell you what, folks, it's a really flipping tall man. I am not tall. I'm about average height, and I had to look directly up when he was walking by to identify that that is who that is. Unfortunately, he was very busy, and I didn't get the chance to catch up with him, but he is a great guy as well. Awesome shooter, very folksy, approachable YouTube channel. Hickok 45 is another one worth giving a watch, and of course, he's very close with SDI. We have used him as an influencer and as a friend. We have connected with him for years now. Awesome dude. Other really big name that was there was Mr. Guns and Gear. Super nice guy. As you might imagine, there were quite a lot of people with him. Didn't get the chance to talk to him very much either, unfortunately. But as you might imagine, big name influencers are super busy at networking events like this. So all of those that were there, especially our partners with SDI, we were thrilled to see you there in case you happen to pick this episode up. There were some really cool firearms with Century Arms. Century Arms, in case you don't know, owns quite a few brands. Century Arms has, they import C308s, which is the going to be the G3, if you use it in old military terms, or the Setmi, which I believe is Spanish in origin. And now that I've committed to that, someone's going to tell me I'm wrong, but I think it's Spanish in origin. Got to shoot a couple of firearms with them and got to talk about a few more, but the best ones to me, the Century Arms AP5, and because it has a P5 in it, I bet you know what it's in reference to. It is a MP5-esque roller lock platform that comes in a pistol form. There were two of them that were there. There was the AP5P, which is like a mid-sized version, and then there is a compact AP5M, and I actually got a video of me shooting it. There was not a ton of, it's probably like a 15 second clip, but holy crap, guys, it is so fun shooting a being able to shoot something that mimics something with such historical significance is an absolute blast, no pun intended. It was absolutely great. The AP5 was awesome. Let me tell you about the other awesome Century Arms product. It's technically not Century Arms, but it's under their mighty umbrella, and it's Canik. I have talked about Canik before. The Canik 55 Shark is another name for one of my favorite handguns in the world, which is the TriStar T100. Those are, I don't think they're exactly identical, but they're pretty flipping close. But, of course, the big name for them right now and for the past few years has been the TP9 series. A lot of people I know don't recommend the plain TP9, which is fine. I think it's okay for a firearm. Like, I think it's fine. But the, I think it's the TP9 SA, that's that. But the TP9 SF and the TP9 SFX firearms are so good, you guys. They are so much better than their MSRP suggests. The TP9 SF in FDE, I brought it up on the webpage, their webpage, in anticipation of talking about this, is $400 MSRP. And their TP9 SFX is $550. That is awesome value. Like, go try one of these out. You will be shocked, probably, how great these things are. And they have the TP9 Elite SC, which is subcompact. And almost every model, I'm looking here, P9 Elite Combat, almost every model has an optics version, and that includes the subcompact. So, folks, if you've not been on the Canik TP9 family train, try one out and get there. It is shocking what value these guys have. It's really, really nice. It's up there with the quality CZ clones. It's totally worth your time to check out. Another big player there was a little company by the name of Taurus. We love Taurus here. They are good resource partners of ours with SDI. And I know in the past some people have maligned them for their semi-automatic builds. There are some in the past that people have complained about the quality, but let me tell you about the ones that I shot there at range day, because I shot quite a few of them. They were just great firearms. It's a good time. So from the Taurus booth, I shot four firearms. One is technically from Heritage. It is the Heritage Barkeep, and I flipping love this gun. I haven't really said this before, but I'm not a 22LR guy. Normally, I probably should be, because there's enough about the fundamentals of shooting that I still need to work on as a shooter, being able to have the quantity of ammunition that 22LR provides, that's probably just overall a good idea for me, but it's not something I've done. The Heritage Barkeep is in 22LR. It's a 6-round capacity, short-barreled revolver. It is, dude, it is so pretty. It's so good. You can get one. You can get one with, like, scroll wood grips, custom scroll wood grips, according to their website. You can get them with gray pearl grips, which is, like, roll your eyes back into your head pretty. I mean, it's just gorgeous. And I'm learning something here right as I'm, you know, going through the specs. The description goes like this. Pint-sized revolver with the Old West flair. Meet the new Heritage Barkeep. Single-action barkeep comes chambered and ships with the affordable 22LR rimfire cylinder, which is exactly what I was just telling you guys about, why I should probably get one. This revolver is also compatible and designed to work with an interchangeable 22 WMR cylinder option. Now that is cool. Built for optimal concealability. I'm just going to finish this description since I'm halfway through it. In a light and portable package, the Barkeep boasts fixed open sights for fast action and clean sight picture. Several grips options delivered classic Western styling to complement the standard black oxide or case-hardened frame finish. With a 2-inch barrel configuration, this compact carry revolver checks all the boxes for form and function. And in case you missed it, you're correct. 2-inch barrel is how they describe it, and it looks suitably short. It's a 6-round 22LR, as I mentioned before. It is a single action only revolver, which I know some people don't like, but I love it. I think it's great. Front sight is fixed. Rear sight is a notch at the rear, as you might imagine. Grips I've already talked about. Cylinder is made out of alloy steel. Cylinder finish is black oxide. Frame finish is black oxide or simulated case hardened. Overall length is just under 8 inches. Overall width is 1.5 inches, which is actually not bad. That compares favorably with some semi-automatics that are modern on the market. Overall height is 4.86 inches. And right now, the MSRP for the more expensive one, the Gray Pearl Grips, as you might imagine, is $189.39. That's not bad at all. I mean, seriously. So I know firearms are in short supply, the high-demand areas, and 22s can be that. From time to time, but if there's one available, this is one, like, if you want to practice shooting a compact firearm, you could do a lot worse than the Heritage Barkeep, and it's just so pretty. Guys, it's so pretty. It made me want to switch to 22LR for everything all the time. That's the Heritage Barkeep. Didn't mean to gush on that for quite as long as I did. Now let's talk about the three other Taurus firearms that I shot. So the first one I shot was actually the Taurus GX4, which was probably a mistake. But let's talk about it for a minute. It is, Taurus calls it a micro-compact 9mm. And I love Taurus, and I don't mean anything against them. I'd probably call it a compact to subcompact firearm. It is nice and compact. It's very aesthetically pleasing revolver. Kind of looks like the Mossberg subcompact that they rolled out, but obviously the price point's going to be great because that's what Taurus does. It is the barrel length's 3 inches, overall height's 4.5. Overall width is 1.08 inches. I mean, dang. Weight's 18.5 ounces. Overall length is 5.8 to 6.05, depending on the back strap you pick. And all of that size and everything, capacity's 11 rounds. They're doing the SIG P365 thing, where it's just way, way, way more efficient than it kind of has any right to be. MSRP on these bad boys is $392.42. And I should not have shot this one first because, well, there are two reasons. One of them is an issue I personally have with Taurus GX blankety blanks. And that is not an indictment of them, as they're wildly popular and lots of people say that they are just thebomb.com. I have a friend who tested out some firearms and went back to the Taurus G2, and that was the first firearm he wanted to own. He liked it that much. One thing I've noticed with Taurus and this extremely successful line of firearms is that you pull the trigger back far, to get the to get the firearm to discharge. And I have enormous fat hands, and sometimes it's a little painful for me to do that. It was noticeably less so than the original Taurus G2. The Taurus G2, I shot like once, and I was like, please get this away from me. I can't stand this. G3 and GX4, not that way, but they have a little bias to travel a little bit further back before they discharge. If you were to purchase either of these things, which again, Taurus is our friend, we are fans, make sure that you're comfortable with the trigger travel, because Taurus doesn't want you to be unhappy with your firearm. You don't want to be unhappy with your firearm, and that's something worth taking a look at. Also, their stippling game is just way better. That's a Taurus GX4. And I shot that, had mild success. The targets were out a little bit farther than I normally shoot. I often shoot as people with concealed carries, like their set distances, and they were shot or set up, excuse me. The range was set up like an actual range. So the shooting with a micro compact or subcompact or compact, whatever you want to call it, at range, when, I mean, a lot of people over 20 haven't had the chance to shoot as much. Holy cow. That was a humbling experience, and it was humbling enough that after this next one I'm about to talk about, I had someone pull me aside and said, hey, did you need some pointers? And I took them, because that's always a good thing to do. But the next firearm I shot with them is the Taurus G3. The Taurus G3 has been out for a little bit. It's a great firearm. It is the generation after the G2, which sold like hotcakes for forever. The G3 is a little closer. I think it's more of a Glock 19 size. Forgive me if I'm wrong on that. And the MSRP ranges from right under $300 to right under $350. It's extremely affordable. They have done... Yeah, it's a 15 to 17 round situation. I did have the opportunity to shoot a G3 with a red dot sight on it, which is actually something with a handgun I literally had never done before. I just have used regular open sights for as long as I've shot handguns, and I could not make that thing work for me. As I mentioned before, I couldn't make it work. And then I was so excited to be there, and I hadn't shot in so long that like every bad habit that I had formed at any point over my shooting career came roaring out. I'm sure you guys can empathize. At some point you just are excited or nervous or something. And I'm sitting there with a bunch of kind of famous people in the firearms industry, and I wanted to do a good job, and I ended up like limp wristing, and I wrapped my left, I'm shooting right-handed. I wrapped my left forefinger around the trigger guard, which I guess isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just a useless thing. And I haven't done that in forever, but I sure did it when I was out there. And there are going to be videos uploaded to YouTube where I'm going to have to apologize for that, because the firearm's great, and I'm not going to not share it. But holy crap, did I look pretty dumb. I didn't really choke down on the firearm. And one of the Taurus reps was like, hey, are you okay? Because you're looking like a beginner. He didn't say it quite like that, but it was pretty close. And I said, well, I'm kind of... I'm a little embarrassed right now. Do you have anything you can help me out with? And he said, yes, absolutely. Here's what we're going to do. Let's back off the G3 for a second. And he whips out one of my favorite 22s I've ever shot. I'm still going to give it to the barkeep, but this was excellent. Taurus TX22. They also had a sight on that, but it was a little easier to acquire. And the Taurus TX22, as you might imagine, is a 22 caliber striker fired firearm, and it is about the same size, roughly, as the standard G3. And I looked back between takes here. There is a G3C, so you could get it compact. But the standard G3 and the standard TX22 are pretty close in size. They handed me that one, and we walked through the fundamentals of shooting, which just goes to show you that you are never involved in the firearms industry enough to not have a little humbler in your life. But he was the guy, I wish I had his name, just as nice as could be about it. Helped me get my head back in the game. And we shot that TX-22 with the sight, and we were spitting out lead and popping those, you know, those sights that you shoot. And if you hit them, they wheel around and then they're facing the left or the right of the pole that they're anchored to. We were popping those left and right. It was great. And then we went back to the G3, which was chambered in 9mm. Should have said that to start. And the skills held over. We brought them back up. So I was elated and relieved that my skills had not degraded so much that I couldn't bring them from a 22 to a 9. I just needed a little refresher. And once I got that, I was way, way more competent in what I was doing. So that's a humbler for you. In case any of that happens to any of you, you're not alone out there. And if I am alone out there and I was the only person that it's ever had to, you know what? That's okay. I'm happy to share that experience with you guys. Another one that you guys would probably know is CMMG, who is passing out, or their reps were passing out, awesome t-shirts. And more to the point, the CMMG, that team, they brought out a couple of firearms, and they had a lot of the automatic firearms that were available for people to try out and get footage of. And the main firearm there was one actually I had looked at way, way back when I was looking to get a semi-automatic, kind of a sporting rifle, that kind of firearm. CMMG was one of those that I had looked at. And at the time I looked at it, it was called the CMMG Mutant. That's not the case anymore. It's the CMMG Mark 47, I believe. And they had one that was fully automatic, and it was loud, man. I took probably a dozen clips of people shooting that thing at a full auto clip. Full auto magazine, but at a full auto clip. And the rate of fire on that thing was ridiculous. I got Jay Bell, who I mentioned before, shooting it. I shot it. And there was a certain camera angle I wanted to get shooting the thing, because it's, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's got some fire burping out the front and all that good stuff. But people were packed up all around this thing trying to get basically B-roll for their videos. And the one place that people were not willing to go was where the hot brass was being flown out at about 1,000,000 miles an hour, and so much of it, right? Because so many people were shooting. So guess where I sat? I got my face and my shirt baked by about 43 million very, very hot pieces of brass coming right up my face and coming at my clothes. And fortunately, I was wearing eye and ear pro. We all were. They are very, very respectful and safe of all common sense range safety rules there at the Ivy 88. So no damage for real, just a lot of, ooh, hot. Ow, that's hot. For about 20 minutes. It was a good time. But the CMMG Mark 47, that's one I'm going to keep an eye out for. Along with the AP5, that's a firearm I want. The capital W and a capital A and a capital N and T. We also got Savior, which does a lot of firearms cases and storage. In their little goodie bags we get, normally you get like, I don't know, lip balm, or someone will put their brand name on some bug spray or something, stuff that you need at the range. Or like you'll get like a hat, right? Standard, you know, corporate fair stuff. And my friends, I'm going to call them friends because I'm going to make them be buddies with SCI. We had not met them formally yet. They packed a handgun case in every single goodie bag for every person that attended. And there were hundreds of people that attended. That is a, if you want to call that a flex, that's, I mean, that's a huge flex, folks. And their stuff is really good. So Savior did a really good job there. I had someone approach me who I am looking for. So if you're listening to this, email marketing@sdi.edu. I was approached by an SDI graduate who said, hey, I could not have gotten where I am today if it wasn't for SDI. I was a graduate and I went to a firearm shop and they gave me a chance and now I help run things. And he gave me his card because the man also does a podcast and we were going to do some collaboration and all this other stuff. And the card disappeared. It was in my pocket and then it wasn't. So if you're here listening to this, email us because I want to talk to you. But even if not, the opportunity to get to talk to you over the course of range day was really cool. So thanks for making my day. It was a good time. I'm trying to think last couple here. I know I've been talking for quite a while now. I can tell it's something I'm excited about because there's no script for this podcast episode. I'm just talking about stuff that happened or people that were there. I hope this is interesting to you guys, but I got to shoot a CZ-24, which even when I Googled it, I couldn't find. It was a carbine style. Shot 7.62x25. It was a Czech firearm. And that was fully automatic as well. Weird looking firearm. It looked like a space age Uzi. It's the best way I know how to describe it. Strange firearm, but really, even with the 7.62x25, which is one of the hotter, mid sized pistol cartridges. Very manageable recoil, very cool to shoot, and I wish I had that one to shoot forever and ever. That one was fully automatic, I think I already said, but holy crap, guys, it was an absolute good time. This is probably a good way to close it out. There's so much stuff to talk about, but I don't want to get you guys forever and ever on this. There were two things here I want to mention to close it out. First of all, Mantis, the company Mantis, is a really cool group of people. Got the chance to talk to them for a while, and I am hoping to get them to be, friends of SDI. That's not a promise or anything. That's just something I would like to happen. Got the chance to talk to them way back in early 2020 at the Great American Outdoor Show, just before things fell apart. Pandemic wise, see, I get to talk about it. That's so nice. Before things fell apart pandemic wise, I got to talk with someone from, Mantis, and, what they do is they help teach people how to improve their form, when shooting a firearm. They have this just ingenious system to get it done. They have this target that you aim at and you have their given. You have their stuff. I think there's compressed air involved. I hope I'm not just totally making this up, but there's compressed air involved. There's a laser that tracks what you're doing. And as you shoot, they give you a modicum of recoil, and it says, hey, here's your score right now. Here's where your groups are. Here is where your aim is wobbling before you pull the trigger. Here's where your aim is wobbling when you pull the trigger. Here's where you hit. And here, according to your groupings, is how you can be a better shooter. That's huge. That's a lot of good stuff. Their MSRP, I want to say, is in the 200s. So it's not entirely cheap, but it's a very cool concept and they make cool stuff. They also had something with AR style rifles where you could insert their kind of dummy bolt carrier group and could test triggers and that kind of thing. It was very cool conceptually. And the mechanics of which I don't fully understand off the top of my head, but I actually did some videos with them so that in the event we do become resource buddies or, you know, partners in some way, shape, or form, I could just share them out right away, right? So that's what I'm going to try to do with them. So last thing here, there was a group that was shooting, I think it was 22 LR. They were burning through it too fast for it to be 5.56. Even these, you know, these people who have tons of ammo don't have that much ammo, you know. There were people launching targets. They were launching, basically a skeet shooting, right? They're launching those clays, and people were shooting fully automatic 22 LR carbines at the clays as they went down. And that sounds like it's easy, but it's really flipping hard because these 22s are tiny and you don't get the full spread, even though it's, you know, automatic. It's hard. I don't think I saw a single person break one. And there are some pretty darn good shooters in that group. So I thought that was fascinating, but I got some footage of that as well. So keep an eye out on our YouTube page. It's going to take a while even for me to just sort all the stuff I got, much less put it out there. But it will come out there eventually. That's what I was out there for. Whew. Okay, so that was a bit of a mouthful. My throat's all scratchy now. But for now, that's the gun rack. I'm going to wrap it up there. Have a fantastic week, you guys. We will see you at the range.
Sonoran Desert Institute is an online school located at 1555 West University Drive in Tempe, Arizona, accredited by the DEAC. For more information, please call 800-336-8939 or visit sbi.edu.